Good morning. It is such a joy on behalf of all the pastors and staff and leadership here to welcome each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us for worship today. I want to welcome you for visiting with us. I think if there was ever a good time to visit Truro or a good time to just come to church, it would certainly be Easter. Because the good news that we celebrate today, we really believe this, the good news that we celebrate really is the best news that there is. And I know that sounds Christian-y to say that, but it's true. We celebrate, we really believe that Jesus is alive. Not figuratively alive, not metaphorically alive. Jesus is really, truly, physically alive. So here is the most true thing you're going to hear all day today. Jesus is alive at this moment, and he lives forevermore. He lives, he reigns over all things, he holds all things together in his hands, and because Jesus is alive, it changes everything. Here's just a few things that it means because Jesus is alive. I could list a million things, but I'm imagining you would like to have lunch later on today. Because Jesus is alive, it means that sin is defeated, that Satan is defeated, death is defeated, that Jesus is right now in the process of making all things new, that Jesus is right now in the process of putting all things in subjection under his feet, that Jesus is Lord of all of heaven and all of earth. Because Jesus is alive, it means that the believer has nothing to fear, that we are hidden in Christ, that all of our sins have been totally dealt with on the cross forever, that we're crucified with Christ, that we are raised with Christ. We believe all of that and more, and we can be sure of all of that because Jesus is alive. You can think of the resurrection like you think of the very ground itself, the ground on which you walk, the ground upon which everything is built. Think about how you would put into words how important the ground is. How fundamental, how foundational, how essential is the ground? Well, everything is built upon it, and without it, everything would fall apart. That is just as, if not more true, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The real resurrection, the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Everything is built upon the resurrection. Everything rests upon the real resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without the resurrection, everything falls apart. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ has not been raised, then I'm sorry, but your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, that means those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're just dead forever. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, if you only live once and this is all there is, we are of all people most to be pitied. But he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised. That's what we believe. It's an undeniable fact of the physical, real, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that this is the best news there is for the whole world. Jesus' resurrection. And what I hope you hear today is that not only is the resurrection of Jesus the best news for the whole world, this is the very best news for you personally. First reason why, because it proves that everything Jesus said is true. Everything he said. Specifically, everything he said about himself. The real Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, walked this earth and made incredible claims about himself. I'm not talking about what other people said about Jesus. I'm talking about what Jesus himself said about Jesus, that he's God, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the good shepherd, that he's the bread of life. Jesus said incredible things about Jesus. But how can you know that Jesus was telling the truth about Jesus? Because of the resurrection. The resurrection is how you can know that Jesus was telling the truth. It's his words, the words of Jesus that are true, and the resurrection verifies that the words of Jesus, all the words of Jesus are true, not just some, but all. The words. In the account of the resurrection from Luke 24 that we heard a few minutes ago, I think it's interesting how the angels remind the women of the words that Jesus had said. Luke 24, starting in verse 6, the angels said, "He is not here, but has risen." Then immediately look at what they say next. "Remember how he told you." Remember the words of Jesus. He wasn't making anything up. "Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men." Yeah, he was right about that. "And the Son of Man must be crucified." Yes, he was right about that. "And how the Son of Man would on the third day rise." Yes, he was right about that. Verse 8, "And the women," what? "Remembered his words." Jesus accurately foretold his own death. But what really matters is that Jesus accurately foretold his own resurrection. I've known people, and so have you, who can accurately foretell their own death. Maybe they've received a diagnosis, maybe it's the end of their life, and they're able to tell you with fairly good accuracy that they're going to die and even when they're going to die. So it's not impressive for someone to foretell their own death, even though Jesus not only foretold his own death, but also foretold the exact manner of his death. What's infinitely more amazing is that Jesus foretold his own resurrection. I don't know about you, I've never known anybody who can foretell their own resurrection. And Jesus not only foretold his own resurrection, he foretold how long it would take. He didn't say 5 days, "Oh, it was three, I was wrong." He said the exact number of days, "I'll be crucified, and on the third day I will rise." What do you know? On the third day he rose again. Jesus' words about his own death and about his own resurrection, down to the last detail, were true. Which means everything else he said was also true. The author, Pastor Tim Keller, who's in heaven now, said it well in his book, The Reason for God. It's a great book. He said, "If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead." Now that might challenge some of us here this morning, and it should challenge us, but it's good news for us. The fact that Jesus' tomb is empty, the fact of Jesus' physical bodily resurrection from the dead, proves that everything he said is true. And what that means, why it's good news for you, is it means that everything Jesus said about himself, he is for you. Jesus is your Savior. It's true. Jesus is your Redeemer. Jesus is the forgiver of all of your sins. Jesus is gracious. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus will take your sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Every promise Jesus made to you is true. It's all true. And he proved it's true by rising from the dead. The resurrection is the very best news that there ever is for you. personally. Here's the second reason why. Because it proves that every promise Jesus made is trustworthy. Every single word of every single promise that Jesus ever made is trustworthy. Because Jesus made a lot of claims about himself. A lot of claims about himself, but Jesus also made a lot of promises to you. He made a lot of promises to you. For the sake of time, let me list just 10. Jesus promised that he would save you from judgment, that he would never leave you. Jesus promised that he would never forsake you. Jesus promised that he would forgive all of your sins. Jesus promised that he would give you his Holy Spirit to live in you, to dwell in you, to guide you. Jesus promised that he would give you rest if you come to him. Jesus promised that he would go prepare a place for you. Jesus promised that he would come back one day for you. Jesus promised he would never condemn you. Jesus promised that he would give you eternal life. Every word of all of those promises and every word of all the rest of Jesus' promises are proven to be trustworthy because of the resurrection of Jesus. And here's why. Because whether or not Jesus will follow through on any of his promises is contingent upon whether or not he's actually more powerful than death. Think about it. It's fairly easy to make promises, but it's much more difficult to keep promises. You can make promises all you want. I could come out of here today and tell you, you come back next Sunday, we'll, you know, have catering by Chick-fil-A. I could make you that promise, but I can't deliver on that promise. Do me a favor, just for the sake of illustration. Underneath each of your pews, we have put a very special gift for Easter. Would you reach under your pew and see what that is? I'm just kidding. Made you look. What did I just do publicly from the pulpit on YouTube? I lied to you. So if next Sunday I said, okay, seriously, this Sunday, trust me, there's something under the pew. You would rightfully not trust me. We would have trust issues with each other for quite a while. It's easy to make promises. It's much more difficult to keep promises. It is infinitely more difficult to keep promises when you're dead. And it's infinitely, infinitely more difficult to keep promises when you're dead and when all the people you made promises to are also dead. Death needs to be dealt with decisively if any of Jesus' promises are going to be worth anything. You should only pay attention to any promise Jesus ever made if you can know that Jesus is going to deal with death decisively. You're saying, Jesus, you want me to believe that you'll save me from judgment? You want me to believe that you'll forgive all my sins? You want me to believe that you are Emmanuel, God, with me? That you'll never leave me? You want me to believe all those promises about you? Stake my life on you, give my life to you, entrust my eternity to you? None of those things mean anything unless Jesus can deal with death. So let me remind us of what we heard read from Isaiah 25 earlier. And just keep in mind, this was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. So this is a prophetic promise of Jesus. It's a prophetic promise pointing to the resurrection. Verses 7 and 8 of Isaiah 25 describe the curse of death in the exact way we all feel the curse of death in our life, in our story. It's like a death pall, like a heavy blanket. You can't get out of it. You can't escape it. And so Isaiah says that one day, he, meaning the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. So when the stone was rolled away on Easter morning, out came Jesus, and in went death. Death was defeated on Easter. Jesus proved it. He proved it by rising again. You can think of the open grave like the open mouth of God now. Jesus comes out of the grave. The grave is open, and in comes death. God is in the process now of swallowing up death because of Jesus' resurrection. But I know it might not feel like it. It doesn't feel like it most days. In your own life, your own story, your own body perhaps, in the news. Look at the broken world we live in, the broken lives that we lead. Death is our great enemy. Christians are not people who bury their heads in the sand. Christians do not live by an alternate reality. Christians live by true reality. What it means that Jesus rose from the dead is, yes, death is our great enemy, but death is a conquered enemy. Death does not have the final word. Jesus has the final word. And the resurrection of Jesus proves that. Jesus did deal decisively with death on the cross and when he came up out of the grave, and he will deal decisively with death once for all when he decimates death and destroys it forever when he returns again. Therefore, because of that, where I'm going with this, because of that, then every promise he made is totally trustworthy. You can read Romans 8. Say that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us, be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How can the believer say that? Believe that, live in that, because we're sure of Isaiah 25, verse 8, that he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. You can be sure of that. You can be sure of every word of every promise Jesus ever made to you. Every promise is true. Every promise is trustworthy, and the resurrection is the proof of it. The very best news there is for you personally. And here's a third reason why. Because it proves that every person who believes in Jesus will also never die. The good news of the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us in the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the good news of absolute security for you in Christ. The moment you put your trust in Jesus, from that moment on, the moment you put your faith in Jesus, even your feeble faith, weak faith, questioning faith, doubting faith, inconsistent faith, the moment you put your faith in Jesus, you can have absolute security that you are known, loved, forgiven. No one can take that away from me. That you are purchased, ransomed, redeemed forever. That you are adopted, beloved, and accepted in Christ, no matter what. That you are saved, justified, reconciled, praise God. That from the moment you believe in Christ, you are then alive in Christ now, alive in Christ tomorrow, and you will also be alive in Christ billions of years from now. God's promise of eternal life for the believer now, at the moment of your death, and also God's promise of your physical bodily resurrection at the moment of Christ's return is a promise that ought to give you absolute security now. A gospel-centered, gospel-driven, Jesus-infused life is a life of absolute certainty in Christ. The promise of eternal life built upon the resurrection is good news for you now because it says to you this. Not only is your identity in God fixed, immovable, unshakable, and not only is your present, current standing before God immovable, unshakable. I know in this area we're always aware of poll numbers, up and down, up and down. Who's up? Who's down? Polls. There's no poll in Christ with God. Your standing before God is always fixed. Therefore, your destiny is fixed. Fixed. We heard Paul say earlier in Romans 6:5, hear this one verse, that if we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now look at that word, certainly. Praise God for that word. Certainly. If we're united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his? Absolutely. It's good news for us. Because here's how a lot of us think that verse is written. This is the gospel according to humanity. The gospel according to religion. According to works. The gospel according to legalism. It would go something like this, quote, if we're united with Jesus in a death like his, and if we're a good person, if we're a nice person, and if we're a generous person, and if we feel really sorry for our sins long enough, if, maybe, if I'm united with Jesus in a death like his, and if I stay on his good side, and if when I die I'm on his good side, then maybe then I'll be united with him in a resurrection like his. Maybe. Hear me this morning. The gospel is not maybe. That is not in the Bible. And that's why if there ever was a good time for you to visit Turo, or for you to come to church on Easter, Easter's a good time. So you can hear what the gospel really is again. Hear what the Bible really says. In Christ, your identity is fixed. In Christ, your standing before God is fixed. And in Christ, your destiny with God is fixed. The moment you put your trust in Jesus, this is true. The moment you put your trust in Jesus, your name is written in and unerasable out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Romans 6, verse 5. If we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall, say this word with me, certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And if you get nothing else out of this service today, I hope you love the music. I hope you enjoy the new carpet and the pew cushions. I hope you enjoy the time together. What I really hope you get out of this is that in Christ you can have certainty. That's why the resurrection of Jesus from the grave is good news for you personally. You don't need to live your life according to the gospel of maybe anymore. It's exhausting. It's unnecessary. Jesus didn't die on the cross and rise again and ascend into heaven so that you could live according to the gospel of maybe, but so that you could live according to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection is the proof of this, because he's alive, he's breathing, he's reigning, he's resurrecting, he's redeeming, he's saving, he's interceding. always, without end, forever. The resurrection of him from the dead gives us certainty. Certainty that everything he said is true. Everything he said is true. Every promise he made is trustworthy for you personally. Hear me this morning. If you doubt Jesus' promises, they're all true. And every person who believes in him will also never die. You can stake your life on this. You can stake your eternity on this with certainty. Because Jesus is alive. Praise God. So we crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.